We turn once again to the book of Romans, and we are at the final section of Romans 12. Let us read this chapter from verse 1 onward. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exalteth on exaltation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord grant us understanding as we meditate upon his word. And this afternoon, we are going to look at the last part of Romans 12 from verses 17 to 21. And so in the first part, we have already looked at or considered our relationship with God. And now the Apostle Paul turns his attention to our relationship to others. So in this last part, we have the subject before us, and I think there's a typo error there. It should be charity without the T-I-E-S. It should be charity, just T-Y. Charity to enemies. So the believers who seek to obey God have many enemies. The moment we confess Christ, receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we find ourselves going from or crossing the line from how we lived before to how we ought to live as Christians. And when our Lord Jesus was ministering on earth, he had many enemies. And Jesus already made this known to all of us, true believers, in his high priestly prayer. Jesus says this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hateth me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." John 15, verses 16 to 19. So believers, you should not be surprised when you find people around you oppose you or distance themselves from you when you became a Christian, and especially when you begin to walk in holiness and righteousness, as you begin to strive to live a life that is pleasing to God, you will find yourself with many enemies. And likewise, and in fact more so, for the servants of God, for those of us who are in the ministry. And so we see here also the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles and all the believers in the past, there were many enemies who opposed their work. And so the Lord Jesus warned his disciples very clearly, in fact, that their worst enemies might be those of their own household. This we read in Matthew 10:36. But we like to make a distinction here in this study, that there are some believers or some Christians have enemies not because of the gospel, but because they lack love and patience, and because they did not conduct themselves in Christ-likeness, and not because they are faithful in their Christian witness. So there is a difference between sharing in the offense of the cross, so to speak, Galatians 5:11, and being an offensive Christian. So we ought to make a very clear distinction here. Are we having enemies because of my sin, because I'm not living in holiness and righteousness, or I'm not living out the gospel, or I'm doing something that is offensive to others that created enemies? So we ought to make this distinction. And the teaching here concerns the Christian's private, individual, and personal relation to one another and those outside of the church. It has nothing to do with the judicial administration and with the magisterial administration, which Paul will touch on in chapter 30. Here, in this final section here, he is still talking about our relationship with one another. And so Paul begins in verse 17 saying, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." The word recompense means to pay back. So Christians are not to pay back evil for evil, but to do the contrary, to return good for evil. And of course the word recompense can also mean render. You render, or render to no man evil. Pay back to no man evil for evil. A Christian must not play God and try to avenge himself, returning evil for evil or good for good, which is the way of the world. And it is very easy to live that way, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But for a Christian, we are to live differently. The Christian must live on a higher plane, return good for evil. And of course, this requires love. And therefore, this teaching actually is for the Christian. Because the non-believers, those who are not a Christian, it is impossible for them to live or practice this teaching from the Bible. Because in our fallen nature, our first inclination when being hurt or offended, we want to revenge. We want to retaliate. And what is the reason for Paul teaching us this? Returning to no man evil for evil. And one of the reasons is that our enemies, those who are outside of the kingdom of God, may be won over for Christ. If you turn to Proverbs 11:30, the book of Proverbs 11:30. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth soul is wise. And so therefore, in our not returning evil for evil, right, we may peradventure win the person over to Christ. And furthermore, by restraining ourselves, we also give evidence that we are indeed Christians, believers. And by our testimony, we give God the glory. And therefore, the teaching here is for Christians to cultivate inner peace and satisfaction. And to do so, believers must learn to love our enemies, which is diametrically opposite to the way of the world. And we can only do so as we seek the Lord in prayer, as we ask God the Holy Spirit to fill us more and more with the love of Christ. Otherwise, it is impossible for us to do so, and to do so for the glory of God. And it seems paradoxical, isn't it? To have inner peace and calm or rest is to learn from our Lord Jesus to exercise the fruit of temperance, self-control. Christ set the best example for us. Remember, our Lord Jesus who died for sinners. And who are the sinners? Who died for his enemies, actually. We were once upon a time at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. And Christ died for sinners. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 5:10, Paul also says, If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. And so therefore, we must understand that why we are instructed here not to return evil for evil. And that is from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul follows in verse 17 with the word, provide things honest. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest is to show things that are honorable by our conduct. And it is to be done in the sight of all men. And may I add, in the sight of God too, who watches over us every moment of our lives. And that is why Matthew 5:16 teaches us what? Let your light so shine before men. For what purpose? That they may see your good. Who are the they? In the sight of all men. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And of course, as I said before, the good works here does not mean your official function as whatever ministry you are serving. Your good works here refers to your life. And so therefore, we are to conduct ourselves honorably. Alright, in the sight or in the, we are to live, as believers, we are to live our lives with the consciousness that we are in the full will all the time, in the full will of the all-knowing God, and in the full will of people outside of the church, those whom we, and in fact, even including those in our family, who are non-believers. And then beside the need to be filled with the love of Christ, which is, can only be done through the work of the Holy Spirit, loving our enemies also requires faith, believing that God can work and accomplish His will in our lives and in the lives of those who hurt us. This is how we ought to see the situation. When we are faced with enemies, we ought to remind ourselves that there is a higher purpose, that God can work and accomplish His will in the lives, in our lives, for our good and perhaps for the salvation of the other person who hurts us. Look at verse 18 now. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now this verse does not imply impossibility in the view of any inability arising from our weakness. In this case, it means objective impossibility. As much as we ought, as much as we can, without compromising holiness, without compromising truth, and without compromising what is right, live peaceably with all men. And so Ephesians 4:15 tells us, but speaking the truth in love. When there is a need for us to speak the truth, to do what is right, even if it means to the other party is an offense or the person does not like it, we are not to compromise. We are to still do what is right and good. And so here, Paul is teaching us that as much as we ought to and should, and without compromising, live peaceably with all men. And moving on to verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. We must give place to the wrath. Here the wrath refers to the wrath of God, as in Deuteronomy 32 verse 35. Give place to wrath, or leave room for God's wrath. It means acknowledge. Humbly acknowledge and rest content in our hearts that God is the one to do, God is the one who will punish the evildoers, not us. It is not, we are not given that authority, and even in case of a criminal act, and in fact more so of a criminal act, we are not to take the law into our own hand and to inflict punishment. It is not wrong for a Christian when someone defaults us, perhaps say cheated us of our money. It is not wrong for a Christian, if it is a criminal act, that we bring this up, to report it and to have the person who have done this criminal act to be prosecuted. It is not wrong for that. So here, it does not mean that, oh, therefore we suffer in silence when someone wrong us. Oh, we are not to return evil for evil, therefore we forgive and then we move on. It is, in fact, it is our responsibility in situation where a criminal offense is committed, then it is indeed out of love that we should report this and to bring it up, not just to for our rights, but rather for the good of the person and also for the good of the general public when the person has committed a criminal act. And so therefore the admonition in Romans 12 verse 20 reminds us of Jesus' word in Matthew 5 verse 44 to 48. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so the word here is very easy for us to read those verses, but extremely difficult to practice. But we have no excuse, brethren, for not obeying God's command. We have no excuse. Surely, we need to pray. Surely, we need to ask God for love as we try to show kindness to our enemies. And it is indeed our duty to pray and to ask for the Lord's help, even though it is difficult, even though it goes against our nature, and only God can help us to overcome that. Some of us may ask, why in my showing kindness or in not returning evil for evil, perhaps the person continues to take advantage of us. Perhaps the person will continue to hate us. Well, only the Lord knows. But the point is, we do our part. We do what is required of us as Christians. We leave the other part to God. Because each of us will be accountable and answerable to God for our part. For what we do or what we do not do. For what we say or what we do not say. Right? So therefore, the point here is that as Christians, we are commanded or instructed to do our part, leaving the other part to the other person, for he or she is responsible for his own life or own action. Our part is not to take things in our own hand, but to obey God and leave the result or the outcome with him. And Paul referred to Proverbs 25, verse 21 to 22, I read, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul, in fact, I think quoted from here, from the Old Testament, but he did not mention the last part, and that is, the Lord shall reward thee. And so, the coal of fire here perhaps refers to the feeling of shame on our enemy. Our enemies will experience when we return good for evil. As children of God, we must live on the highest level, returning good for evil. Anyone, if we, like what we read just now early on, if we, like the world, return good for good, evil for evil, there is no difference between us and the people of the world. The only way for us to overcome evil is with good. And we can do so with the help of the Holy Spirit, giving us the grace and the strength to do so. If we return evil for evil, we only add fuel to the fire. And even if our enemy is not converted, we still experience the love of God in our hearts, and it shows that we have all a growing in grace, a sign of spiritual maturity. So may the Lord help us and give us grace and strength, and that we ought to live this out, not only in our relation with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but more so outside of the church, so that in doing so, we may be a witness for the Lord Jesus, and to lead even our enemies to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for this very simple lesson, but yet we confess that it is so hard to live it out. And oftentimes, O Lord, we follow the ways of the world. So easily and so quickly, we react in retaliation to those who hurt us, to those who wrong us. And we often harbor it in our hearts, even among believers. How often, Lord, we are not quick to forgive, just as You are so quick and merciful to forgive us and to receive us and restore us. But how often, Lord, we fail to do so to others, and we shame and dishonor Thy holy name because of our unwillingness to forgive and even to forget the wrong that others have done to us. Oh Lord, may Thou give us much strength, especially in this new week, as we continue what we need to do in our various responsibility. We ask that You will help us, both at home, in church, at our place of work, at our place of study, that we may constantly be mindful of what You have taught us in Your word, Your laws and Your commandments, and Your truth. May Thou give us much grace and the enabling of Your Holy Spirit, that we may live out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this new week, for Thy name's sake, for Thy glory, peradventure, Lord, by our Christian testimony, we may point some to the Lord Jesus Christ. So may Thou help us, particularly, Lord, I once again commit to Your care those who are our elderly and others, Lord, who are on bed of affliction. And we thank Thee also for those who are recovering. We thank Thee for hearing our prayers, how You have restored those of our brethren in our numbers who were unwell in the past week. And we thank Thee for Your healing hand upon them. And so, Lord, may Thou rest Your healing hand upon those who are unwell. And we pray that You will restore them to good health, and that You may grant us much grace in this new week, that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called, and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, as we see right now, O Lord. And we are grieved that we are unable to go to Thy house to worship You because of such a situation. And we pray and plead that Thou will be gracious and merciful to deliver us, so that, Lord, we may be able to return to normal life, return to our work and responsibilities and duties, and return to Your house to worship You in person. And so we pray that You will be with us and help us, O Lord, in this new week. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.